Good afternoon, and welcome to SEI's podcast series, ETF Revolution, a podcast focused on all things ETFs. I'm Bill Arnold, Regional ETF Director here with SEI. Joining me today are two featured guests, Jenica Ross of Susquehanna International Group and Aaron McClafferty of Cohen & Company. Jenica is the head of U.S. ETF sales and portfolio trading at Susquehanna, which is one of the world's largest proprietary trading firms and a leading ETF market maker. She has worked in the ETF industry for over 10 years and serves as the co-president of the Women in ETFs U.S. Aaron is a member of Cohen & Company's senior leadership team and co-leads the go-to-market efforts for registered funds, including ETFs, focusing on strategy and national growth efforts. Aaron is currently the co-president of the Women in ETFs Philadelphia chapter. Jenica and Aaron, welcome to SEI's podcast series, and thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Really glad to be here. Thank you.
Great. So I thought we would start today by just talking about the Women in ETFs organization, what roles you play, how you became involved in it, and just would love to hear your thoughts on where we're going with Women in ETFs.
Yeah. Thanks for having us, Bill. And it's great to have the chance to kind of tell the story about Women in ETFs. It's just such a fantastic organization, coming up on our 10th anniversary now, which is amazing to think that the 10 years has already gone by. But if you look at the organization today, it's a global organization. We have roughly 9,500 members globally, men and women. And the purpose of the organization is to bring together people to support our mission, which is connect, support, and inspire. I think we all know in our everyday life, you know, you're in the weeds of your job, you're in the weeds of your own career trajectory, and you oftentimes don't have the opportunity to meet people who are in our industry but are doing other things, advocating for people that might not be on your direct team.
Sure.
Finding ways to bring people into an organization that will add diversity, add depth to the perspective that your organization might have. And that's really what the purpose of the organization is, to provide a network and a resource for people to get leadership opportunities, to meet people that they haven't had a chance to meet, to further their career. And that really is the purpose of what we're doing day in and day out across each of those regions that we're covering.
And I think we all know that we don't progress in our career on our own, right? That you need
help,
advocates, you need help, you need mentors and sponsors. And also for women in particular, I think you need to be able to look up to that next generation and to see really wonderful role models and women who have paved a very significant path, particularly in the ETF space.
Absolutely. And I think, one of the things that is important for us to do is to kind of think differently about our business. We are in the ETF industry itself has matured significantly, but I do feel like we're at an inflection point that let's see now where the next 10 years are going to take us. And through the events that we have, our mentorship programs that we do at the chapter levels, a really wonderful variety of events, both in person and virtually, that allow people sort of access to information to think differently, and to see kind of maybe where their careers are going to go as well as where industry is going to go.
That's great. And I really appreciate your perspectives on this. But I'd love to actually go back to the start a little bit and figure out, how did you get into the ETF industry? I know I didn't set out to be in the ETF industry, but I'd love to hear your perspectives and where you guys came from as well.
That wasn't on your college application. You didn't?
It was not.
Okay. I see. I wasn't on there. Okay. No, it is. I love hearing people's journeys in terms of how they end up in the role that they end up, the sort of the firms that they end up with. I mean, from my perspective, out of school, and I've told a number of people, this was a politics major, had no intention of even going into financial services. To be honest, had no idea what financial services was, let alone what sort of the ETF world was, but was fortunate, started at UBS at the time in the equity capital market space. And for me, it was finding people who I respected, mentors.
For sure.
People that I appreciated their integrity. I knew that they were intelligent, that they thought thoughtfully about where the business was going. And there was an inflection point maybe 7 years or so into my career on the equity capital market side where there was people that started migrating from more traditional financial services positions into this ETF world. Mm-hmm. And it sparked my curiosity. So I started having conversations with them. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? Why are you making a career change at this point in your life? And it really made me think about potentially making a career change, which is what I ended up deciding to do.
And Aaron, I'd love to hear your background as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. Similarly to both of you, didn't necessarily intend to follow a path into ETFs. I was also a political science major in college, and so had some.
Is that a prerequisite?
Yeah,
you have to be a political science.
You know, it's amazing how many people you meet in this industry who come from a liberal arts background. Like, it's, I see it all the time.
Okay.
in terms of managers or other folks. So it certainly speaks to, I think, the energy and the innovation and the creativity in the industry as well. But I started in a PR firm working in consumer marketing, consumer brands, and joined a small accounting firm when I came back to the Philadelphia area from a different city, and it was a boutique firm that was focused on the investment management industry, and I was the first professional dedicated to growth in the small firm.
Okay.
The firm grew to be very much nationally recognized in the investment management space, including with ETFs. And so as I progressed in my career, as ETFs became more well-known, there were more ETFs launching, I was introduced more to the space and have just been so impressed, again, by the innovation and the energy, and also how education forward the space is as well, and so collaborative, certainly room for competition, but it's just been it's at the end of the day, and I think we talked about this a little bit, it is all about the people, and just
for sure.
great people in this space
and a great ecosystem.
Yeah, and I think people don't understand how broad that ecosystem is. We say ETFs are receive financials, but what's actually under the hood, and when you look at that, and it's marketing, it's social media, it's portfolio management, it's trading, it's operations,
law firms, accounting firms.
Well, it's interesting because I feel like, so I'm coming from 20 plus years now from working in an audit firm as someone who's leading marketing go-to-market strategies, but it's amazing to me how many times people sadly forget that audit and tax is part of the ETF ecosystem. I've even seen like very detailed charts of the ecosystem where like there's no mention of audit and tax. So that's part of our responsibility too, to share why audit and tax is a really important part of the ecosystem too.
Please don't forget audit and tax.
Yeah, right? It's kind of important.
Very
sure. I'd love to hear your thoughts on how we all can promote and inspire future generations of women to join the industry. What do you think, and what are your perspectives on just really from a grassroots perspective, bringing more women into the industry?
One thing that I found very helpful for me personally, and it sort of happened when I was young and sort of as I started my career as well, is just have conversations with people earlier. I think, a lot of times we don't talk about sort of the professional world to, girls and boys, all children, sort of as they're at that middle school, high school level. The conversations oftentimes start towards the end of college. And if you think about it, that's so late in the process.
Seems late, yeah.
So starting to increase the conversations, the honest dialogue, what it means, contextualizing what these words actually are, I think is really powerful. It allows, kids are inquisitive, right? So if you start discussing some of these kind of components to them, shedding light in terms of, some of the really amazing sort of research, and we've gotten pretty creative in terms of the content that we're putting out there. It's fun to read. So if you can kind of share that with people that might be younger in your life, nieces, nephews, children, people in your community, I think that really opens people's eyes up to what the possibilities could be.
And I think that's why some of the outreach that we're doing from women in ETFs is so important as well, like going back to universities and maybe at some point even going back into, high schools, younger kids, both, obviously boys and girls, just to really educate and explain why it is a great career path and how many different options there are, just not necessarily having to stay in one lane, but that there's just so many, there's so much opportunity throughout the trajectory of your career.
And I think that's a good point, Erin. I think, a lot of us are fortunate to have had some exposure to, professional careers, like as we were growing up. Even my parents were teachers, school teachers, so I didn't understand sort of what this business world was. But,
sure.
Being conscientious that, those conversations that you're having, especially with the younger generations, you're touching as many people, from diverse backgrounds as you possibly can, so that knowledge doesn't kind of continue to reside in one group of people, that we're bringing interesting people from sort of all facets of life into this business. That's what's going to give us our sort of creativity and innovation that you discussed earlier, I think, for this next phase that we're about to embark on.
And I like the point about starting kids earlier. even my kids. You know, I have two daughters and a son, and I've started to just educate them on what an ETF is. You know, if you can start them that young, they're interested. Now they look at it every day and they say, whoa, this is really fantastic. And they get interested very early on. I think that's an important part of it, for sure.
We need good girl dads out there. So, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. It is clear that I think when you walk into rooms, it is different than it was, you know, 20 years ago in terms of the number of women who are at an industry event or in a meeting or whatever. There was a dinner that I attended about a year ago at like a fairly well-known midtown restaurant in New York, very, you know, popular in terms of, you know, corporate groups or whatever. And I was at a table and with a smaller group, and I looked around the restaurant, and I don't know why I was really particularly observing this at the time. But there were groups of men at each of the tables, and I kid you not, each table had one woman sitting there. So it's clear to me, and listen, I'm not saying that is specifically, they were groups of ETF professionals, but it's clear that they were probably connected to finance, and there's absolutely room for more balance and for more input from more, you know, diverse groups. Because again, like we've been talking about, the ETF industry thrives on innovation and creativity and collaboration, and we need to see that from more groups.
I totally agree. I think it's very important to get a diverse set of perspectives, for sure. So I guess this is a good segue to, I would love to hear your thoughts on what makes you successful in the ETF space specifically. You know, obviously being outgoing and in the ecosystem, understanding the ecosystem, but I'd love to hear both of your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, I think a couple things that I've continued to try to focus on and stay true to. You know, one, always be honest about what you know and you don't know. You know, you don't need to pretend to be someone that you're not. You don't need to pretend to have an information set or a knowledge base that you don't. Be inquisitive, learn, take initiative to do that yourself. While I think, you know, it's on us as an organization to create the framework to bring people in, it's also people's individual responsibility to ask questions and take advantage of resources that are available to them. So I think that's something that I continue, and it doesn't stop at some part in your career. It's not like, oh, I've now moved from, you know, a junior to a mid-tier to a mid-tier to a senior leadership position. Like that's a natural evolution that should always continue. So that's been something that I've continued to focus on. And I've mentioned before, but like that network of people is just, that is like my lifeline. That is like,
for sure,
it benefits you in sort of in business, you know, in terms of, you know, information that's going, opportunities on your career. So really spending a lot of time sort of having a genuine network of people who you can rely on to gut check you, to push you, to push you into opportunities that you might not have had before is critical.
Yeah, I very much agree. I think it's really two-pronged. Like, I think it's what you're bringing to the table intrinsically, and then the support that you're receiving from your, you know, your outside network and your mentors and your sponsors. But, you know, I think one of the most important things, the most important messages that we can share with women or really anyone is never doubt that there's a seat at the table, right? Never, that's not, it's not unavailable to you. There's never a reason why you shouldn't be there, and you have to have, you know, the grit and the resilience to earn that seat at the table. But there is a seat at the table for you, and I think that's really important. Really, just bringing a tremendous amount of again that grit and resilience, and it's hard, but you do it anyway, and you will find success. But where it is two-pronged is, we don't do this alone, and I think we talked about this a little bit earlier as well. And so having being in a place where there are, you know, mentors and sponsors and people ahead of you who recognize that, yes, you should be at the table. You do bring good ideas to the table. You do bring value to your organization. It's important to make sure that you surround yourself with those people as well. And that's something that for me, that has been one of the most important parts of my success is, you know, the people that I have worked with and for over the last 20 years have, you know, I have worked very hard. You know, it's been very important to me. I've been passionate about the industry and passionate about my own work, but it's also been those surrounding me who have recognized that and who have made sure that my work was recognized and that my ideas were heard and that I could contribute that value.
The one other thing, too, that I think is important and it's oftentimes not talked about because it's not in that professional bucket is, you know, especially being a woman in, you know, financial services in the ETF space, like a career isn't linear. Your personal life isn't linear. And it's not that you need to be this perfect balance all the time about, you know, your career and still managing all the things that you have in your personal life, whether that's, you know, relationships, taking care of family members, children, fertility. There's financial burdens that are on you. There's a lot that people are bearing. And a lot of times I think we don't have as many seats at the table. So we bury some of those other things that are very big parts of who we are as people. And we project a professional persona. But that other part is never going away. So I think each person sort of recognizing that you don't need to be one or the other. Yeah. And you can be true to your personal self while having a professional career. The balance concept is always, you know, perplexing to me in some ways. Sometimes I feel like I have it. Sometimes I absolutely have none of it. That's just, I think, how it's going to be. But not denying or pretending that that piece of your personal life impacts your career decisions, your, you know, decisions that you're making in your professional career.
Absolutely. We're all, you know, fighting battles that no one else can see. Yeah. So, yeah.
For sure. And the reality is a lot of companies are real new to it. And, you know, from that perspective, you're almost helping build businesses. And that's a good thing. And it's an exciting thing, certainly for men and women. So
yeah. And put yourself out there, too, because, I mean, I think, like, if you look, I think we're up to almost 57 sponsors at Women in ETFs from amazing companies, all facets of the business, you know, and some of them are longstanding, you know, sort of participants in the business. Some are just getting into the space itself. And so, you know, have a voice. If you're involved in Women in ETFs, reach out to your chapters. Let people know that you're willing to be, you know, someone that people can go to, whether it's they're hiring a new division, you know, they might be hiring someone into a position, or just someone that elevates your visibility sort of in the industry. You know, leverage that network to put yourself out there.
That entrepreneurial spirit will take you far. Yeah.
So I think it's a good segue. Can you just explain to people that are listening to this podcast what they can do to either register for Women in ETFs or become a part of it? What's the best way that they can go about doing that?
So absolutely. There are really several chapters around the country. And so in many geographies, there's a way to get involved locally. And the local chapters, I happen to co-lead our Philadelphia chapter, always looking for you know, new folks to get involved and to bring interesting insight and ideas. So definitely, there's ways to get involved locally in many different areas around the country.
And we make it very simple. So, right, we have a great website. It is, you know, it's a great resource to go to. It starts as simple as go to that website. There's a free registration.
WomenInETFs.com.
WomenInETFs.com. Go to that registration page. It's free. When you start that registration process, all that you're going to do is you're going to select a chapter that's closest to you. And we've got, I think, 16 chapters here in the U.S. We've got chapters globally. I think we're 40 chapters or so around the globe. So find a chapter that's close to you. That doesn't mean that you're exclusively only allowed to attend events
chapter,
in that chapters. When you then get through the registration process, select links and get updates from all the other chapters. Maybe you go on business trips to Chicago. You're based in Philly. Select Chicago. Next time you're on a business trip in Chicago, go to one of their events and have a chance to meet people that you may have not met before. But it's a really easy free registration process. And then that gets you in the information link. And then just show up at events. Reach out to fellow members.
And if you're attending any of the industry conferences, we have events at almost every conference, certainly at Exchange, at Inside ETFs, Morningstar, Schwab. We're doing a lot to make sure that we are present, future-proof. You know, we're making sure that we're present at all of the industry events as well. Lots of different ways to get involved. And, you know, as an organization, you know, we need the next generation of voices. You know, we need a lot, you know, insight and help to continue to achieve the mission and the goals that we have. So it's a very welcoming group, we would love to have you involved.
Always looking for help. So, if you register, you get involved, and you like what we're doing, please reach out to your chapter leadership or us at the national level, and we would love to incorporate you in a role at the chapter level, at the national level. Lots of ways to get involved, not just as a member of the organization, but in a leadership position as well.
Yep, there is a seat at the table for you. Absolutely.
Great. Erin and Jenica, thanks so much for sharing your perspectives and insights. We really appreciate your time and expertise.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you, Bill.
For those listening, if you have any questions, please direct them to me. My contact details are included on the invitation to this episode. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes in our series. Thanks for tuning in.